We're starting a four-part series on thankfulness, obviously culminating on the weekend of Thanksgiving. And I think it's important because as Bob and I went through this topic and started discussing it, it became very evident that this is just not a suggestion from God. You know, and here in the United States, we kind of say, okay, you know, we're going to take one day a year, and we're going to make everybody be thankful. And yet, it's not a one-day-a-year proposition, obviously. In the book of James, James 1:17, it says, "Whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow." So premise number one, foundation number one this morning is that everything, everything good that happens to you is a gift from God. And that is true of everything good that happens to Joe Sinner down the street.
That's right.
Yes, sir. Who's smoking the dope, hanging with the ladies. Every good thing that comes to him is from God above. David put it this way in Psalm 92:1. David said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord." It's actually one of the first praise songs I learned 40-some years ago. In a church up in Tacoma that's now called the Champion Center. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. David was acutely aware. In fact, David, and we sang this song a little bit earlier in Psalm 104, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." There is the reason we do what we do for the first 30 to 45 minutes of church service. Because I know you, like me, we connect emotionally with God through our music. And we can praise him. And I see the hands lifted up, and I that's where we connect with God. Remember, prayer is connecting with God in our thoughts. And so that whole thing of praying without ceasing, if you're connecting with God in praise, you are praying without ceasing. Psalm 69 verse 30 says, "I will praise God's name in song and glorify him with thanksgiving." And then Paul over in 1 Timothy 4, verses 4 and 5, "Since everything God created is good, we should not reject any of it, but receive it with thanks. For we know it is made acceptable by the word of God and prayer." Now, I want you to see this connection here that Paul is painting, that our thanks is intimately connected with the Word of God and prayer. I mean, you got to know what you're being thankful for, don't you? As mature Christians, yes. As immature Christians or pre-Christians, you're walking down the street on a sunny day, you hear the birds singing, you're feeling the warmth, you're feeling good, you're feeling thankful. You're not sure why. But God is working in those people. God works in all of us to have that attitude, that feeling of thankfulness and thanksgiving within us. But I want you to understand that not everybody enters into that experience. And the Bible even talks about some of those in Romans 1:21. It says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him." And unfortunately, this is a text that could very easily describe a large percentage of our culture today. And sometimes it describes us because we get too busy. We get too taking for granted the Christ in us that we get into that position where, you know what, we slow down and we don't glorify God as being God of our lives, and we're not giving thanks to him. And you know, our parents taught us at an early age that we don't eat without praying, without giving thanks to God for our meal. And yet I'm around so many people today, and I'm not talking about in restaurants. I know the peer pressure of praying in a restaurant, and some people really struggle with that. I'm talking about in their homes. People that I am around who are Christ followers. Boom, meal comes and they just dive in. Yeah, I know that they're thankful for what God has given them, but they're not slowing down enough to take those moments to teach their children to be thankful for God. That this meal is not a given. This meal is a gift. And so we thank God for what He gives us and what He brings to us, in, even in a meal. And so in Philippians, Paul goes on, as Bob was quoting just a little bit ago, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with your thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." There's a thing called the Great Controversy. And it's a war. It's a war that's going on that is unseen to us. You know, some of us, as we come to a church here on Saturday mornings, we pray that this place will be guarded, fenced in by God's holy angels. Because we don't want the enemy here. We don't want the enemy's presence. We don't want any covert kind of things going on here that the enemy has inspired. And so we pray that prayer. And with that, we believe that we're making that connection, that God in us is being able to do what he needs to do, what he wants to do, and we can have that connection, that peace of God that comes about because of our giving thanks. So this is a cause and effect. If we give thanks, the scripture is saying, we give thanks to God, we're going to experience, as a result, the peace of God. Boy, how many troubled people do we know in this world that need the peace of God? We just need to start turning their minds and turning their attention to being thankful, that attitude of gratitude that we talk about so often. And so, because of that, we can experience that kind of peace. Now, 1 Thessalonians 5:16, 19 puts it this way: "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And I'm going to pause there a moment, because it may not have really dawned upon you, it may not have ever crossed your mind before, that God's will for your life is to give thanks. Now, this is not an egotistical God who's saying, "Come on, thank me for what I've given you." That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is a God who is saying, "Hey, you know, be thankful for what that person just did for you. Be thankful for the fact that you have good health. Stop taking life and people for granted. Be thankful." And I'm going to apologize a moment, because I'm walking around more than I normally do. There's a reason for it. I either walk or I have to sit. Because for the last 5 weeks, I'm fighting a nerve issue in my back. I think they call it the sciatic nerve. And as a teacher, it's really tough, because I'm now teaching from a stool most of the day, or I walk around the classroom a lot. So I just... For those of you who are sitting there going like this, like you're watching a tennis match, I'm sorry, this is why I'm walking. Because I can walk and it loosens it up and it's not so bad. I cannot stand. So, thank you for understanding. But this is God saying, have an attitude of thankfulness and stop taking me for granted. It's not God's ego that's wanting this. It's because God knows this is what's best for us. Amen. Because when we have that attitude of gratitude, when we have that thankfulness, A, we get the peace that God has promised, and B, you're going to have so many more friends. When you have an attitude of gratitude and thankfulness, this whole thing that we talk about, we attract people by like us, and so when you're positive and thankful, guess what? You're going to be attracting people to you who are equally thankful. And that's kind of what we aim for on our VIP day on the 21st. One of the things we want to do is show our thankfulness to people in our lives. And I know there's not a person sitting in here, because it's one of the love languages, there's not a person sitting in here that doesn't like to be told that they're appreciated for what they do. Because if you did not care, you would do what you do for free and not for a paycheck. That paycheck every month, I hate to tell you, is your thanks for what you're doing. Plus, you like to eat. Now, this says this is the will of God. Now, I'm going to say the same verse again, but I want you to notice the shift in green lettering. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, to in everything give thanks. And again, this is going back to what Bob was talking about during our prayer time. And I'll guarantee you this also. Every one of us in here have had life experiences where the last thing we want to do is give thanks for them. And this is what Bob was talking about. No, we don't have to say, oh, thank you, God, that my mother just died. God is not the author of that. God is not the one who does bad things to people. So we got to differentiate here what God is responsible for. But yeah, you can say, well, okay, that's semantics, but God could stop it. God could have changed it. Just one word, one touch from God's hand, and things could have been different. That's true. That's true. And in our humanness, sometimes we can't understand why God didn't intervene, why God didn't touch, why didn't God answer that specific prayer for healing, for restored health, for financial whatever. But here's the reason why. Because God is God, and we are not. Amen. And God knows what is for our best. And because of that, that is what motivates, that is what directs God to do what he does. And if it's not in your long-term best interest, God's not going to let it happen. And there's a whole lot of those things we're not going to know till we get to the other side. And this is one of those things. But the thing in this is where we rejoice and give thanks in everything is that, and I got to jump ahead some slides, be thankful that you're not alone. This is what you give thanks for. Give thanks, as Bob said, that God is near. Hey, he can't get any more near than in here. And we believe that Christ is in us, because the Bible tells us Christ is in us. You can't get any more intimate, you can't get any more invasive than in you. And so God is near. And that is what we are to be thankful for in all situations. Here's some scriptures. In Hebrews 13:5, God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, nor relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. You may feel like you're alone. You may feel that God is not with you, God is not in you, God has left you. That, my friends, is the enemy. Amen. Pressing that upon you. That is the darkness that the enemy wants to put upon you. And it's at those times you've got to turn to Hebrews 13:5 and read it out loud, because again, your mind believes what it hears more than what it thinks. You've got to read it aloud and say, God has said he's not going to leave me, he's not going to fail me, he's not going to give me up, he's not going to leave me without support, he's not going to leave me helpless nor forsake me, he's not going to let me down or relax his hold on me. I am in his hand. Last weekend we were in Southern California, where there, last time I checked, there's still sunshine. And we were spending time with our two grandkids, Shyla and Alex. And, you know, Shyla's 3, and she's just so verbal now. And Alex, for an 18-month-old, just amazes me how verbal he is. Of course, everything Shyla says, he wants to say. Everything she does, he wants to do. But one thing they want when you are holding them, they don't want you to let go. And those of you who are parents and grandparents, you can never visualize holding your child and just letting them go. And they have that trust, they have that need to be held. We're no different. And God is coming along saying, I am not going to let you go. There's some stories that kind of support this whole thing in Scripture. There's a story in the Old Testament of Jehoshaphat, who was king of Israel. And word came to Jehoshaphat that this vast army was coming against Israel. And so Jehoshaphat went to the people and he said, we got to pray. We got to pray, we got to recommit to God, and we got to, you know, we got to call upon the name of the Lord. And so we pick up the story in 2 Chronicles 20:21. It says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Can you imagine going to a cancer clinic and singing, give thanks to the Lord and praising God because his love endures forever? Can you imagine going to bankruptcy court, singing and praising God and giving thanks for it? I can't. But the saints did. There's a guy named Jonah who kind of did his own thing. God called Jonah to do a specific thing. And Jonah told God, nah, God, you got to be wrong. Not the Ninevites. I mean, they are the scum of the scum. You can't possibly want me to go there. No, God, I'm going to go this way. And he went that way, and the story goes, he was on a ship, and this great storm came along, and they cast lots and found out that Jonah was the one responsible, and Jonah manned up. Jonah said, it's me. And the only way you're going to get out of this alive is if you throw me overboard. And I imagine that was the green light that the crew needed, and they did that very quickly. They threw Jonah overboard. And God prepared a great fish to be there at that exact moment, swallow him up. And for 3 days, he was in the belly of this great fish. And this is what he said in the belly of that fish. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help, and you listened to my cry. But I, in the belly of a fish, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. Jonah's in the belly of the fish, thanking God. Well, think about it. If he wasn't in the belly of the fish, he'd be drowned by now. And so as the dawn starts to light in his mind, he starts praising God for his position. And then we fast forward to the New Testament. Paul and Silas, two of Christ's disciples out doing their evangelism. Two evangelists. They've been arrested. They're in prison because they didn't like them out evangelizing. And here's what they do in prison. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. In chains, in the darkness, in the cold and damp, not fed very well, not given anything to drink, they are praying and singing hymns to God. See, the Bible is very clear in Romans 8:28. We know that God is always at work for the good of everyone who loves him. They are the ones God has chosen for his purpose. You know, if we can have the attitude of Isaac Dennison, who said, "I think these difficult times have helped me to understand better than before how infinitely rich and beautiful life is in every way, and that so many things that one goes around worrying about are of no importance whatsoever." In fact, we worry about everything because everything is our responsibility. Wrong. Only God is omni-responsible. Mike Bella. According to Newsweek magazine, 23 million Americans, 12.6% of the population, will fight acute anxiety this year. Do we need the peace that comes from being thankful? The latest studies say that 45% of the things people worry about never happens. Almost half of what we worry about never comes to pass. You see, not only so, Romans 5, 3 and 4, not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And this is that whole thing of going with the inside-out life again, because the inside-out life does not blame God for the difficulties, but thanks him for being there through the difficulties, saying that, "I don't understand this, but there's a reason why this is happening." I love the words of Job in one of the newer translations. Now, Job is this guy in the Old Testament who basically became a guinea pig, and between good and evil. And he lost his family, he lost all his possessions, and eventually he lost his health. Here he is, covered in boils, everything is gone, all his wealth, all his family. And he says, "Though God slay me, though he kill me, yet will I trust him." What a position. We don't have to always understand what's going on and why it's going on, but we have to hold on to the idea that no matter what, there is a reason. I think back to the death of our great nephew, Justin McCowan. Some of you knew him. 18-year-old, coming home from the movies with his girlfriend, stopped at a red light, light turned green, started to pull out onto the street. And as he pulled out, he was struck, T-boned, by a teenager who was street racing another car and we were blowing right through a red light. Justin was killed almost instantly. 18 years old, a senior in high school, and we're going, "God, why?" Yeah. And yet I went to his memorial service, his funeral, held up at Auburn Adventist Academy. They opened, if you've been in that church, it's got a lot of folding accordion-style doors around these sides that open up into other rooms. They had every one of those open. There was standing room only in that church. There were well over 1,000 people at his funeral. Over 2,000? And through that ceremony, the things that we heard, the things that we saw, there's not a doubt in my mind that decisions were made at that funeral by young people that they wanted to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior and have relationship. So when you put it in perspective that Justin's death served to be the salvation of some of his friends, And Justin was in such a place when he died, he had a really close walk with the Lord. Justin would have said, "I'll do it. I'll do it." Now, it hasn't made the pain any easier for the family he left behind. In fact, I believe some of them have still never totally recovered from it. But it's partly because we don't take this attitude of being thankful so that we can experience the peace that comes with it. Be thankful for someone we've lost. It's so hard to do. It's easy to say, but it's so hard to do. But when we can get thankful and say, okay, there's a reason, God, and I'm trusting you for that reason, then we can experience the peace. You see, that thankfulness is the acknowledgement of who lives in us. It's kind of us saying, God, you are God, and I'm not. You know, this is how I would have done it, but apparently this wouldn't be the best way, and so I'm going to accept the fact that you are God, and I am not. And so that thankfulness thing is basically equal to prayer. And the last text I want to close with in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. So, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. In our course of being thankful to God, God is saying, okay, this is how you can really show me your thankfulness. Give me yourself. Give me all of you. And I know that there are times in my life when I go into church and I worship, and I'm worshiping and praising through music, and yet I'm holding something back because there's something there that's interfering with my relationship with God. And I'm just, at that point in time, I'm not willing to let it go. But God says your ultimate act of worship is to give everything of yourself to me. To lay down your life. You know, the Bible talks about the greatest act we can do for a friend is to lay down our life for them. And we've talked and thought about in the past what that means. And yeah, you know, we've envisioned jumping out in front of a speeding car and shoving someone out of the way and getting killed by saving them. But I'm going to say something that's really weird, and I've said it before, so for those of you who have heard it before, it won't be that weird. That's easy. To do that act, it's very self-sacrificing. It's giving what you can, you know, all you can give at the moment, but that's easy. Let me tell you the really hard part about laying down your life for someone else. The really hard part about laying down your life for someone else is giving up your agenda, giving up your addictions, giving up whatever is keeping you from having a close relationship with someone else. It could be a friend, it could be a spouse, ultimately it can be God. But that is laying down your life for someone else. You know, I think of married couples, and I've talked to a lot of married couples where one particular person, and I've been there, done that, okay? So I'm not preaching to anybody else, I'm talking to myself. Where one person's addiction has been a barrier in the relationship. And that person wasn't willing to lay down that addiction for the sake of the other person. That's giving, laying down your life for someone else when you're willing to lay down that habit, that addiction, whatever it is, for that other person. And I'm telling you, in my way of thinking, that's a whole lot harder than jumping out in front of a car and pushing someone out of the way and giving of your own life. It's a whole lot harder than jumping on a hand grenade when, you know, save the life of others, or to confront a gunman who's killing everyone around, and to lay down your life that way. That's kind of instinctive. It's just a reaction, and because you are who you are, you do those things. But to do it day in and day out, to deny yourself, to lay down your life in that way, a whole lot harder. So the foundation has been laid. And we're going to be talking about this attitude of thankfulness all this month. Because it is, again, it is the will of God. God's not saying, you know, I'd like you all to be thankful. God is saying, it is in my will for you to be thankful. And that's going to lead us to talking about gifts from God. That's going to lead us to just thoroughly exploring this. And Pastor Bob's going to pick this up next week. And what are you talking about next week?
Thankfulness creates.
Yes, you are. Thankfulness creates. Let your mind wander on that one. What can you create by being thankful? A better world. So, this week, we're going to practice what we preach. Amen. We're going to go from here understanding that Scripture now says that being thankful is the will of God. And that means, and I'm making a promise to you right here, that means this week, all week, I will not get on Facebook and complain about the rain. I want you to know, I did that yesterday and I was shot down immediately. I said, I'm tired of the rain, I'm sick of it, and people just shot back to me, hey, you got 6 months of it coming, get over it. We're going to be thankful this week because it's God's will. And that's going to bring about a peace. The Bible says it's going to be a peace that passes understanding. We're not even going to be able to understand the peace that God has given to us. I'm going to pray for our food as well as for our time here so that when it's time to eat, the food's been blessed and the ladies will direct us. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you for the word that you've given us from Scripture today about how important thankfulness is. And even though we as a country have set aside that fourth Thursday of every November to be Thanksgiving Day, God, it's in your will that every day be Thanksgiving Day. So I just pray as we go through this coming week, as we continue to pray that prayer of Jabez, that we can include the thankfulness portion of being thankful for the changes you are making in our lives, being thankful for the health you've given us, being thankful for the life you've given us, for the friends and the church family. There's so much to be thankful for. And we claim that promise that as we pray those prayers of thankfulness, that we're going to experience your peace, that we're going to experience changes in our life that we can't even explain. And we just look forward to spending this time together this month as we learn about this attitude, this thing of thankfulness. And I just pray for those who are going to be attending all this month, particularly on November 21st, God, during that VIP day. I just pray that we will get out of the way and let them see who God is through our love, through our actions, through our acceptance, because we want it to be to your honor and glory. Now I pray your blessing upon the food that we're about to eat and the hands that prepared it. May we find strength and nourishment and just bless our time of fellowship. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you all for coming in out of the rain. I'm thankful for the rain because you all came in out of the rain. And I pray you'll have a great Sabbath.
Extravagant. Your friendship, it is intimate. I feel I'm moving to the rhythm of your grace. Your fragrance is intoxicating in a secret place.